Blog Talk Radio.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where those treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow, the snow. So then I am dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write. May your days, may your days be merry and bright. And may all your Christmases be white.
To the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party Book. And our radio show is on Blog Talk Radio and also on TuneIn Radio. On Blog Talk Radio, you get pictures. On TuneIn Radio, you just get voice. Speaking of voice, is there a time in your life when you'd like to go back and just do it one more time? A day, an event, and just go back and do it one more time? To be with buddies? When I listened to that White Christmas by the Drifters, I used to be able to do the high notes. And I'd like to go back and do it one more time. But anyway, our topic tonight is there's only one party in the USA. And I'm just realizing it now. I'm seeing these people jockeying for position. They're trying to neutralize Trump. They want him out of the way. For good reasons or for bad reasons. But they definitely don't want, the Republicans don't want Trump, presidential candidate. But then again, they didn't score well with Romney, and they didn't score well with McCain. So I would have to say that the Republicans work for the Democrats. Whether they know it or not, when you hear a Republican say, I'll vote for Hillary before I'll vote for Trump, you know we got a problem. And much of it is ego. And these guys are too kingly for their own good. And that's why I believe in one term per termite. This government was created by great people. This government was created by political scientists who had weighed all of the governments in the world, from the Greeks to the present, at their time, British government, and they saw all of the highs and lows and pitfalls of all those who came before us, and they tried to make our government freedom free. And they said, we're going to create three branches of government, and each one will have a check on the other one. And no one branch will be stronger than the other. And we will make this our legacy to the American people, those who are to come. And the one line that I was always taught, where all men are... That's Jimmy from Brooklyn. I can't take the call. So anyway, you might hear him talking, but we'll see what happens. I just spoke to Jimmy for an hour. He thinks we're a lost cause. And he has many backup reasons why. Okay. Jimmy's upset. Jimmy doesn't trust Putin. When he heard Putin pay a compliment to Trump, he got real upset. And Jimmy is a big anti-communist, and he sent me a ton of paperwork on events. He used to go to all the communist meetings. He's got all their periodicals, and he does not take hearsay. He only deals in facts, and he takes them from the enemy, not from the other side. So we got to give Jimmy a little bit of credit for his efforts. He used to be on Bob Grant all the time. And he used to be on... Yeah, we know. And it's unbelievable. We're living in a computerized world, and it gets a little scary sometimes. But he used to be on Bob Grant. He loved Bob Grant. And Bob Grant used to give him... like a racehorse, you know, you give him his head so he can run. And speaking of racehorses, I equate, and a lot of people think that Trump is going to drop out. I pray to God that is not the case. And I equate Trump with a famous racehorse called Secretariat. And do you know the story of Secretariat? Did you see the movie? The horse started out in front and he ran the race all the way to the finish line out front. And we need Trump. We don't need these politicians, these two-bit politicians that are just looking to line their own pockets. And we got to break all the bad habits that we've accumulated in government since the 50s. And the only guy that's going to break those bad habits is Donald Trump. All the rest are all coming. They're all cut from the same cloth. Trump is the only one. I saw an article today by Cliff Kincaid, who I love and admire. He's a staunch anti-communist. And he compared Trump to a mad comic book article. He felt that Trump isn't qualified. He didn't know what the three legs of the nuclear chair were. And I said to people that were listening, I said he didn't know the nomenclature, but he knows that nukes are bad news. And I guarantee you, Trump sits down with the experts in government on the three legs, air, sea, and land, nuclear, and in 15 minutes he'll know the whole game. And the most feared words in Washington, D.C., on Inauguration Day, the day after, when Trump reports for work, and he goes to the Congress, and he goes to government offices, the biggest feared words are going to be, and what do you do here? Well, I'm in the EPA, and I put American businesses out of business, and I help the Chinese buy broken companies so that they can take them overseas, and they can also create a lot of smog and global warming. Yes, and that's what I do with the EPA. You're fired. Get your things and get out. Yes. So they're worried that Putin is saying nice things about Trump, and Trump is saying nice things about Putin. And I reminded my friend Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, you know, when World War III starts, and Jimmy corrected me, he said, World War III has already started. And he may be right. But I said, Jimmy, when it goes to nukes, I think I would rather have a guy like Trump who may be able to get Putin to pick up the phone and work out a deal. That's what Trump does. He does deals. And wouldn't it be nice to do a deal where nobody nukes anybody? And anybody rogue nation that's trying to nuke gets nuked first. Wouldn't that be a nice deal? How about if the Russians and the Americans could share intelligence? And the Russians could tell us what senators and congressmen are being paid off by them. And we can tell them what Soviets are being paid off by us. Wouldn't you like to swap that list instead of five Taliban for Bo Birdcall? Yeah, unbelievable. You'd hear a lot of gunshots that day. Yeah, and they'd all be suicide bullets. And don't think things can't happen. I heard a story of a Soviet agent that was in the FBI. He was there for 30 years, and he was going to retire and go back to the Soviet Union. And he was a spy in the FBI for the Soviets. So he notified the Soviets he was retiring, and they called the FBI and told him he was a spy, so they didn't have to give him a pension. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, you got to be careful who you work for. Some people may not like you. Okay, so I got some famous sayings I'm going to run by you. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. That's some brave talk, man. Nathan Hale, a student of Yale. And Yale today signed a petition to eliminate the First Amendment. Yeah, students up there. It was a hoax, you know, they got tricked. They got tricked because that's the naivety of young people. Yet they all want a young president. There's a reason why the old chief sits at the council and everybody listens to him. Yeah, because he's been to the mountain. So, Nathan Hale, I regret, I have but one life to give for my country. And quick story on Nathan Hale. He was betrayed by a cousin in New York. He was spying for Washington. And they were going to hang him the next morning. And the night before, they allowed him the comfort of what they call a marquee, which is like a tent for officers. And he asked to see a Bible, and they wouldn't give him one, which happens going to happen here one day too. And then they gave him pen and paper to write a farewell letter to his mother. And after they hanged him, they tore up the letter. And the provost marshal said, "No one should know the bravery of this young man, because bravery among Americans becomes infectious." So, then there's Stephen Decatur, who burned Tripoli. And his saying is, "My country, right or wrong, my country. Where are the matches?" Patton, he said, "I'm going to Berlin and I will personally shoot that paper-hanging son of a bitch." I joke, you know, they all talk about, the communists love to say, they like to quote Eisenhower, "Beware the military-industrial complex." That's what the communists say because they want to destroy the military-industrial strength of the United States. And they're succeeding. The EPA is helping them. So I often say, well, you know, Eisenhower on D-Day had two letters in his Eisenhower jacket. One if he succeeded, and one if he failed. But George Patton only had a map of Berlin and a crowdfinder. Somebody's got to do the dirty work, and that's what we need Trump for. He's got a clean House and Senate, and he needs our support, and he needs a new House and a new Senate. He needs a fresh deck, and we got to get rid of the rhinos because they're working for the commos. So, and then the American people have a famous slogan, and this one kills me because it rings in my ears from the days of Stephen Decatur. Millions for defense, not a penny for tribute. And here we are. We gave $5 billion to the Iranians to get Bo Birdcall, and we gave the Iranians, who had them on a list, who they wanted. If you were going to negotiate nukes, before you negotiate the nukes, you got to give us $5 billion and you got to give us five Taliban. And here's the names of the Taliban we want. Oh, that never happened. Were you there? Were you there? And they got two province chiefs or governors. They got the head of the Taliban CIA. They got a bomb-making expert. And they got one other crazy. And all five of them are back on the battlefield. And I don't know if you know it or not, but the Taliban, the high mountain passes on the Pakistani border, they've been doing this for about 9 months now, and they're getting ready to kill as many Americans as they can when Obama brings the troops out of Afghanistan. If he goes through Pakistan, the Taliban is already waiting there. So I told you, the American people say millions for defense, not a penny for tribute. Now you heard four American heroes and their slogans. And now here's the fifth American hero, Hillary Clinton. Who cares how they died? And the other subject I have is I'm thinking of why we can't have a religious class action lawsuit. My guess is 60% of all taxes paid to the government are paid by Christians. Their money is then used by the government to destroy their religion. Their money is used by the government to murder children and Democrats. Their money is used to shut down religious holidays, destroy religious icons and traditional religious events under the Stalinist lie of separation of church and state. I call it separation of church and snake. This is not constitutional. We must find a way to legally withhold taxes and put them in escrow to prevent their use to destroy our religion. The educational system is anti-Christian. Christians should be allowed to practice their religious beliefs and not be punished by denying them a share of education money. They must be allowed to build their own schools. To Christians, a well-rounded education includes a religion and the Ten Commandments. It is time we put a stop to the Stalinization of American education. It is time Christian taxpayers got their share of education money that's being stolen from them. What say you? God bless America.
A time for us, someday there'll be, when chains are torn, by courage born, of a love that's free. A time when dreams, so long denied, can flourish, as we unveil the love we now hide. A time for us at last to see a life worthwhile And with our love, through tears and thorns, we will endure as we pass surely through every storm. A time for us, someday there'll be a new and thorns, we will endure as we pass surely through every storm. A time for us, someday there'll be a new.
That's Johnny Mathis. Everybody loves Johnny Mathis. I got a treat tonight. I got a video clip of a four-year-old boy saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That gives me hope for my country, that a four-year-old boy can say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God. And as long as we keep that model, we will prevail. Even if we screw it up, we will. God will let us get it right. So one nation under God, I got a treat tonight. Fantastic. And while I'm listening to that boy and watching that boy recite the Pledge of Allegiance, I flash back to a classic photo of children his age with tattoo numbers on their arms being marched like a cattle in a pen. And those children did not survive World War II. And pray to God it never happens to your children. And pray to God that that 1% that defends this country with life and many limbs never walks off the battlefield and says this country's not worth it. Think about that. So we got to get stronger, and I do believe the draft has to come back. Patton said twice in his lifetime he saw the United States come from behind. He doubted if we could do it a third time because of nuclear weapons and the speed of war. In World War I, the Germans overran France so fast that French men were pulled off the streets and put in taxi cabs to go to the front. We have to be ready, and we're not ready. We can't even keep terrorists from coming into the country, and we know how they're getting in here. We're being destroyed from within. Like Cicero says, the enemy within the gates is to be feared more than a murderer. Because the enemy outside the gates openly displays his intentions, but the enemy inside the gates, he speaks like us, he talks like us, and he will kill us. So, now having said that, I've got a tribute to a Jewish judge His name is Kaufman. And I did this a while ago, so it's 9 minutes. We'll see how it goes.
Unbelievable. Okay, welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Tonight we're going to pay a tribute to two Jewish heroes. And the reason that I am paying a tribute to Jewish heroes, including Netanyahu, okay, but he's not the two I have in mind. And I pray that he gets elected, because if he doesn't, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. We are showing too much weakness to the world, and the world is getting stronger in their enthusiasm for our destruction. The reason that I'm selecting Jewish heroes to pay a tribute to tonight, and by the way, Netanyahu, if he wins, he wins on St. Paddy's Day. the reason I'm doing it is because I see, not on a small scale, a rise in anti-Semitism, okay, but I see it on a governmental scale, a rise on anti-Semitism, and I got a feeling that the bad people are pushing out the good people, and that's how we're going to lose our country. So the two Jewish fellows, and I'll mention one thing, George Washington, when he was fighting the Revolutionary War, went to a Jewish congregation in Connecticut and thanked them for the money they put up to keep his troops fed. So the Jewish people have been involved in the American Revolution a long time. My two heroes tonight are Admiral Hyman Rickover, the father of the nuclear navy, and he has probably saved 50 years of American freedom. So thank you, Admiral Rickover. I don't think you're still alive, but if you are, thank you, and if you're not, God will hear my prayers. And my real hero is one man from Brooklyn. His name is Judge Irving Kaufman. Judge Irving Kaufman, I'm going to read you his statement. He sentenced the Rosenberg Soviet spies to death, to the electric chair, for betraying this country. So here we go. Citizens of this country who betray their fellow countrymen can be under none of the delusions that the benignity of Soviet power that they might have been prior to World War II. The nature of Russian terrorism is now self-evident. Idealism as a rationale dissolves. I consider your crime worse than murder. Plain, deliberate, contemplated murder is dwarfed in magnitude by comparison with the crime you have committed. In committing the act of murder, the criminal kills only his victim. The immediate family is brought to grief, and when justice is meted out, the chapter is closed. But in your case, I believe your conduct in putting into the hands of the Russians the A-bomb, years before our best scientists predicted Russia could perfect the bomb, has already caused, in my opinion, the communist aggression in Korea, with the resultant casualties exceeding 50,000. And you won't see that story in any American history book in a communist cucumber school. And who knows but that millions more of innocent people may pay the price of your treason. Indeed, by your betrayal, you undoubtedly have altered the course of history to the disadvantage of this country that's taking place right now in the Obama-Iran talks. No one can say that we do not live in a constant state of tension. We have evidence of your treachery all around us every day, for the civilian defense activities throughout the nation are aimed at preparing us for an atomic bomb attack. We're not ready.
In the 50s, we were ready for an atomic bomb attack. We had bomb shelters. Where is your bomb shelter? When you get on the subway, do you see a sign that says, go here in case of a nuclear attack? We're not ready. And there's talk tonight that Putin, a year ago, armed all his nuclear missiles. Check it out. Nor can it be said in mitigation of the offense that the power which set the conspiracy in motion and profited from it was not only openly hostile to the United States at the time of this conspiracy. If this was your excuse, the error of your ways in setting yourself above our properly constituted authorities and the decision of those authorities not to share the information with Russia must now be obvious. Hey, Hillary, how are those emails coming? Do you think the Russians destroyed the ones that you destroyed? In the light of this, I can only conclude that the defendants entered into this most serious conspiracy against their country with... It's not their country. See, that's a mistake there. It was never their country. Like, this country is not Bill Maher's country. It is not KGB agent Snowden's country. With full realization of its implications, it's definitely not Obama's country. The statute of which the defendants at the bar stand convicted is clear. I have previously stated my view that the verdict of guilty was amply justified by the evidence. In light of the circumstances, I feel that I must pass such sentence upon the principals in this diabolical conspiracy to destroy a God-fearing nation, a God-fearing nation, a God-fearing nation. And who's destroying this God-fearing nation today? The Democrat communists. Who votes to burn the flag? The Democrat communists. You want the names? YouTube, Flag Burners of Record, Abu Tam. Which will demonstrate with finality that this nation's security must remain inviolate. That traffic in military secrets. Are you listening, Snowjob Snowden? Are you listening, Mr. and Mrs. Manning? Whether promoted by slavish devotion to a foreign ideology or by a desire for monetary gains must cease. How did the Chinese get super technology? How did the Chinese get drawings on planes that we haven't built yet, but they have them, they built them in a year and a half? How did that happen? Was that on Hillary's computer too? Was she doing mechanical drawings? The evidence indicated quite clearly that Julius Rosenberg was the prime mover in this conspiracy. However, let no mistake be made about the role which his wife, Ethel Rosenberg, played in this conspiracy. Instead of deterring him from pursuing this ignoble cause, she encouraged and insisted the cause. She was a mature woman, almost 3 years older than her husband and almost 7 years older than her youngest brother. She was a full-fledged partner in this crime. Indeed, the defendants, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg, placed their devotion to their cause above their own personal safety and were conscious that they were sacrificing their own children. Should their misdeeds be detected, all of which did not deter them from pursuing their course, love of their cause dominated their lives. It was even greater than the love for their children. Thank you, Judge Kaufman. Irving Kaufman from Brooklyn, New York. You have taught us a lifetime lesson. Unfortunately, it won't be passed down to the children because the communists control the American history in their Karl Marx schools. But thank you. You saved many lives.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. Get the book because the revolution's about to start. Did you ever see so many people upset about Herman Cain? He just won't go away. They want him back on the plantation with the Democratic Klan. Unbelievable, man. The people forget it was the Democrats that used to wear the white hoods. You know what? They got them in the closet. They do. They really do. A lot of bad things going on in the country today. You've got Sarkozy and Obama spitting on Bibi Netanyahu. And I guess Obama is cozying up to Sarkozy. I guess they're both friendship. Well, Kenya is close to France. Unbelievable. And they teamed up to get Muammar Gaddafi. I don't know if you heard how Muammar ended up. He ended up with a broom in his butt. A broomstick. Yeah, that's how he ended up. Yes, this is from the anti-war president. Yeah, well, man, let me tell you. The Coptic Christians in Egypt, they're about to be annihilated. There isn't going to be one Coptic Christian church left in Egypt. There isn't going to be one Copt left. They're going to have to cop a walk. God help us all. And it's even being done here in the Pentagon. They're going after the Christians in the Pentagon. All of the weasels have finally got into place. All the termites, they're on the oak of freedom. And they're gnawing away every day. They're in court every day. And the judges, their judges are sitting on the bench giving them everything they want. You lost the country, you're never getting it back. You don't believe that. Weep in 2012. You see what happened in Ohio? The unions are running the government. Yeah, and the governor, who I never had much faith in anyway, he was always kaliwali, as they say in Arabic. That's this or that. Or as the Italians say, men's are men's. And what's his name? John Kasich? Is it Kasich? Anyway, he's always been a re-puppy. And he, come on, you guys, stop it. That's how the re-puppies debate. Come on, you guys, stop it. Well, Orrin Hatch walks into the lion's den and says, hey, guys, what's for dinner? We're in trouble. But in the meantime, we got to ride to the rescue of Herman Cain. My suggestion is we need 1,000 white women and 1,000 black women to endorse a Herman Cain. And they all got to pose for a picture. And the only man in the photo was Herman. We'll call it Herman's Harem. A bartender, a tea for two. I am totally amazed about the number of Americans in this country that have no idea when life begins. They have no conception of conception. Unbelievable, man. Isn't it unbelievable? Let me tell you, you know what you got to do? If you don't know when life begins, you go to a farm and you follow a rooster around and then buy the fertilized egg and take it home and sit on it. Put some straw. And when you hear gluck gluck, check under your seat. My friends, life begins when the sperm penetrates the egg. That is Mississippi jackpot. That's three Liberty Bells straight across. If you have any doubt what it's going to look like, look in the mirror if it's your egg or your sperm. Look in the mirror and wait and see how that kid turns out. Of course, I know some guys are shocked. But life begins at impact. It's like a car accident. Once you crunch the fender, that's impact. All right, hang in there. Bartender, more tea for two. How did you like that Kim Kardashian massacre? The wedding massacre. If you had bought my book, The Spirit of America Party, I have tips on weddings you wouldn't believe. And I spell out the Kim Kardashians. Do you know that that guy is lucky he got off with $20 million? Imagine $20 million for a wedding reception. The photographer was paid $2.5 million. Boy, they must have had to dust out a lot of ugliness. It was the personality that they couldn't portray. Unbelievable, man. What a bunch of suckers America is. When we go down, the press will never tell us. What they'll do is they'll run two extra episodes of The Housewives of Gomorrah. And America won't even know they lost their country. Oh, no, I was watching, and the Russians were right out the door. I couldn't believe it. It was a guy with a burp gun directing traffic. And do you know who was helping him? That Mexican gun runner. What's his name? Eric Holder. He had a list of names. They were putting people on the truck from the other side of the street. I don't think they're coming to my side, though, because I voted for Obama.
Yeah. Too much, man. Well, anyway, in my book, The Spirit of America Party, I caution people on investing in bad weddings. Let's face it, 50% of all marriages end in divorce, and that doesn't count the hookups that just take the pillow and leave. That's another 50%. So we probably got 100% divorce rate in the country. It is unbelievable. And I got a question for you. If a man is married five times and has five divorce papers, is he an adulterer with a hard copy? I think he is. I think that when he meets John the Baptist, John's going to straighten him out. And then he'll be in Boiler Number 3 with Ted Kennedy. Bartender, tea for two. You know, one of these accusers of Herman Cain worked with the Clinton administration in the kidnapping of Elian Gonzalez. Do you remember when Geraldo Rivera said that the child belongs with his father, and then his father got off the plane and the first thing he did was give America the finger? Yeah, and they confiscated all the drugs he was going to use on Elian to keep him doped up until Clinton could give him back to Castro. Yeah. You don't think the Democrats were involved in that? Do you know when it happened? It had to be, because the Democrats, or as I call them, the Demo Combos, they're anti-God and country. So you know when they did the hit on Elian Gonzalez? You don't even remember it, but I'll tell you. Because 911 New Yorkers, we forget nothing. Yeah, one day a cruise missile is going to come up out of the water, and Ahmadine Jad's going to be the toast of the town. But anyway, and of course, it won't be on Washington's orders. It's just going to be some 911 New Yorker that found the buttons to press. Okay, I won't do it again. Just let me finish this row. Anyway, the Clintons ambushed Elian Gonzalez on Holy Week, on Holy Saturday. They didn't want to do him on Good Friday because they were afraid that somebody would suggest crucifixion. So they got him on Holy Saturday Eve, the night of Holy Saturday. And, of course, they labeled the grandmothers that they trampled terrorists. That's an old Clinton tactic. It's like labeling Herman Cain a pervert while Penn State covers up for 10 years the homosexual perversity that's going on in the showers. Yes. It must be nice when a full-grown man rapes a 10-year-old boy and somebody sees it and tells his father, and his father tells the school, and the school tells nobody. That must be wonderful. And you know what? That's as bad as the Catholic priest, pedophile priest scandal, when the homosexuals in the Catholic Church abused children and then were transferred.
Wasn't that an outrage and a big scandal? Do you know how that scandal started? People in this country who wanted to bring down the Catholic Church looked at the cause and effect in Ireland, because that's where the scandal started, and the Boston Globe was the first ones to break the story. They figured if the Catholics are doing it in Ireland, those Irish priests, then it's surely the Irish priests here are doing it. How would you like to be an Irish priest and come out and meet the parish the next day? Huh? How about you dedicated your life to God and all of a sudden people don't trust you no more? How about the label that sticks forever? So, the Catholic Church took a beating. But it was concentrated. It was concentrated only on the Catholic Church. They didn't look at any rabbis. They didn't look at four Huguenots. They didn't look at three Calvinists or a parson in a pear tree. They only looked at the Catholic Church because that's the target of the Soviet Union from the day that they shot the Pope. And they used the Muslim to do it. Or the day they shot Kennedy and used the Muslim to do it. Or the day they shot John Kennedy and used a Cuban sympathizer, a Castro sympathizer to do it. These are all coincidences, my friends. Just coincidences. Yeah. Unbelievable. So back to this scandal. They never looked at any of the schools. They only looked at the Catholic schools. They never looked at public school because nothing goes on in public school. You know what? If you're in the fifth grade, you can get a BJ in the hall. Did you know that? Huh? I got news for you. You know what you do? You go to your kid's first sex ed class, and you sit there for the whole day, and you'll get your eyes opened. And so here, Penn State, right? Became a brothel with the knowledge of people on the board of directors. And if you think it's only Penn State, you got another guest coming. It's throughout the land, my friends. It's throughout the land. Beware of the blame and deflect people. So the Catholic Church took their hit. And if there were 25 cases and 20 were legit and 5 were bogus, they paid all 25. And that's what these women are doing to Herman Cain. They're looking for a payoff. Somehow they're being compensated. Is Herman Cain as pure as the driven snow? Until he has a trial and faces his accusers, he's as pure as the driven snow, because the Constitution says a man is innocent until proven guilty. And so far, he's only been lynched by the Democrats and the Royal Republicans in the media. And the Republicans are as much to blame for the siege of Herman Cain as the Democrats are, or Democamos, as I call them. Now, you notice that the people that are coming forward, they're not too crisp. As a matter of fact, the woman who said that she was in the car with Herman, and Herman says he doesn't know her. And a month ago, she walked up to him and says, "You remember me? Was that a stunt, a communist stunt? Remember me?" If somebody comes up to me and says, "Remember me," and I don't remember them, I may say, "Oh, yeah, how you doing?" You know, you don't want to offend anybody by not saying that you remember them. So, I mean, that was a hit on Herman. That means it was planned at least a month in advance. It was probably planned 6 months in advance. And she happens to live in the same apartment as what's the dirty deal doer down there? His name escapes me now, but he's like the number two man in the Obama administration, David Axelrod. Yeah, but she doesn't know him. She only seen him in the gym. Oh, she didn't walk up to him and go, "Remember me?" No. Let me tell you something. She jumped six states to get to Herman. You telling me that David Axelrod in the same building? She doesn't. She does. She's never met. Come on, give me a break. Bartender, a tea for two. Church one Sunday, and a priest told a joke during the sermon, and it was about the scene where a woman is about to be stoned to death, and Jesus says to the crowd, "Let he who was without sin cast the first stone," and all of a sudden a stone comes sailing out of the crowd, and he looks and he goes, "Mom." Well, so we're back to this Herman Cain thing, and it blows my mind. You know why it blows my mind? Because all of a sudden we are shocked, and there's two big words that the demo camos always use when they get caught in the act. I'm shocked and appalled. Those are two buzzwords that the demo camos always use when they get caught stealing. Do you know the difference between a Republican, a royal Republican? Because now we have royalty in the Republican Party. That's the top echelon. That's the Mitt Romneys from Massachusetts. That's the Karl Rove. And that's the Fox News people. Yes, they're all bringing Herman down. They're going to give him his comeuppance. But anyway, and they do it subtly. See, as you go to CNN, like I flipped yesterday back from CNN to Fox, and CNN, Herman Cain, he's a dirty dog, he's a dirty dog. You go to Fox, it's Herman Cain has a lot to explain. Yeah, and the polls say this. You know what the polls say? There's only one set of polls to trust, and I know them personally. It's Stasha and Wanda, and they've never been wrong. Don't believe the polls. The polls are rigged. There's a saying, figures don't lie, but liars figure. And
okay, we're back. All right, that's an old clip, as you can tell by the time frame. And I wanted to see if there was any blogs out there of interest that I could read to you. Will the Republican establishment elect Hillary if Trump wins the nomination? And Workaholic Ray says, if they can get enough people to stay home, that might work. But I can't see Republicans outright voting for Hillary. That's what happened when Ross Perot did it in 92. 19% was more than enough to give the reins to the Dems. Let's hope the GOP establishment isn't that stupid. And if they are that stupid, wouldn't it be better to take them out now? It is really sad. We'll see if we got any other comments here. Let's see. So here's the deal, according to Jeb. The little people need to hold their collective noses and vote for the Republican candidate the party leadership has decided is the true Republican candidate. If you don't, we, the political elites of the Republican Party, and the members of the U.S. Chamber of Crypto-Fascist Crony Commerce, will not support the candidate of your choice. It's the old version of heads I win, tails you lose. The Republican Party has been playing with its grassroots wing for a very long time. It needs to stop. That's by a guy named Dave, and he's right on the money.
And Al says, how come we never hear Democrats turning against their own? We often shoot ourselves in the foot, and is one of the many reasons why the Democrats are allowed to destroy the country. Robert says, I believe that is because for Democrats, or maybe just progressives in general, the party is the most important thing. Conservatives are still naive enough to think we're voting on principles. Kay says, the more the GOP party elites and insiders pile on Trump, the more his numbers go up. I believe 25% of the Democrat Party, if he plays his cards right. He's a New York boy. He is not a dyed-in-the-wool a Republican. He has been a Democrat in the past. He can satisfy the needs of Americans who want America back. And a lot of Democrats, they vote traditional Democrat because their fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers did. But I got to tell you, if you're Irish and you're Catholic and you're still in the Democrat Party, you have betrayed your ancestors because they would never be there today. A party that has no God, a party that kills kids, a party that wants to legalize dope for tax money, you're going to stand there? I don't think so. Not if you got any of the Gale in you. They do succeed in shoving a rhino down our throats at the convention against the will of the people, and only if the GOP conservative frontrunners ought to have a closed-door meeting and all come out united behind a candidate, be it Trump, Cruz, Carson, Fiorino, Rubio, not so much. No, I believe Rubio has to do what the party heads tell him, or they'll crush him like a bug, and tell their followers to vote for that person. Would they dare? I have a feeling that the grassroots will do that to some extent on their own. Why not unite behind one conservative? Again, this is only if the Washington elitists steamroll the people's voices at the convention, and it should be pretty easy to tell. Jason says, this election year, Americans won't care about who's on or off the ballot. If Trump does not gain the approval, I still using my power as a write-in for Donald Trump. They can't stop him and are very afraid. And this is from Abu Tom. They already are with Hillary. They are with Obama, too. There is only one party. Have you noticed you never see the rhinos on stage? They don't want recognition. Before we destroy the Democrats, we have to destroy the rhino rats. More tea, anybody? And Robert says, that's why I keep harping on the fact. First, we need to win the primary. If we don't win the primary, defeat the rhinos, November will not matter. And a girl named Lynn responded to Abu. She says, yes, I'll take 5 cups of tea, thank you. They have already said they aim to take the Donald down. We have to help him, otherwise we suck big time and deserve what we get, and then should never show our faces here on this forum again. Well, there won't be any forum allowed, so you won't have to worry about it. Yeah, the rhinos are dangerous. Workaholic Ray says, if they can get enough people to stay home, that might work, but I can't see Republicans outright voting for Hillary. And then he mentions that was Ross Perot did in 92. The Republican insurgency, this is Lynn, will not support a conservative like Trump. Remember what McShane said when he would support Trump. You know he is lying. That's the first hint. So the question in the article seems to say it's Hillary or it's Hillary. We don't have a choice. I say Trump, the bastards, and we make sure Trump wins. So how do we do that? That's the question and the goal. Any takers? And Robert says, we make every effort we can to get the conservative vote out for the primary. If we can put Trump in a position of having twice as many votes as the next candidate, and the establishment pulls some shenanigan that keeps the number ballot, then we have to make every effort to get 50% or more of the conservative primary voters to write in Trump on their November ballot. Not an easy task. This should put Trump above the next vote getter. Whether it is will be sufficient remains to be seen. I believe it was Stalin who stated, it doesn't matter who votes that counts. It's only important who counts the votes. That is sad, man. And that's how the Russians run their nation. And a KGB agent is still running it. Okay, we're going back into, we got another tune, and we're almost signing off. I'm going to play this tune. It's an Irish tune. It's called The Crappy Boy. And a crappy means a hairstyle that Irish revolutionaries copied from the French revolutionaries, because the Irish got their zeal for revolution from the Americans and the French. Of course, the French, they brought out the guillotine and they killed all the wrong people. And that's why they got problems today. But the story of the crappy boy is very interesting, because just like Nathan Hale, he was betrayed by a cousin. And he was hanged by the same commanding general, Cornwallis, who hanged Nathan Hale. He was the overall commander. So when you hear The Crappy Boy, you're almost listening to the death of Nathan Hale.
It was early, early, all in the spring. The birds did whistle and sweetly sing, changing their notes from tree to tree, and the song they sang was Old Ireland Free. It was early, early, all in the night, the yeoman cavalry gave me a fright. The yeoman cavalry were my downfall, and taken was I by Lord Cornwall. As I was walking up Wexford Hill, oh, who would blame me to cry my fill? I looked behind and I looked before, but my aged mother I shall see no more. As I was walking up Wexford Street, my own first cousin I chanced to meet. My own first cousin did me betray, and for one bare guinea sold my life away. As I was mounted on the platform high, my aged father was standing by. My aged father did me deny, and the name he gave me was the Crappy Boy. It was in Dungannon this young man died, and in Dungannon his body lies. So all good people who do pass by, just drop a tear for the Crappy Boy.
Have a nice night, folks. God keep you safe.